Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Welcome to the show, and once again, we open with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for another day, and always ask that you have your will and will. We thank you, Lord, for looking at you so largely, take for granted. More importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God, for your God all by His Spirit. And may everybody see everybody's God, but you are the one only true God. Ask you to, once again, help us as we recover from the loss of Hal Jackson. Pray and bless the family of Paul Williams. One minute you have some of the many things you take for granted, and just that quick, it's going away. We thank you, Lord, for all things. Bless my family here in Brazil and in New York and across the world. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Well, Doc Stanley Sports, the Boxing Wave Lady A live from Fortaleza, Brazil. The first lady of sports will be joining us, Lady A. And a lot of boxing to talk about. And, you know, it's just amazing that she's the first lady of sports here. And she just stays on top. You know, she's been a gorgeous young lady, externally and internally. She just stays on top of this boxing. And Lady A, you know, it was, I can't tell you how floored I was when I got the message that Paul Williams, who had retired from boxing and had come back from boxing, and he had such a big fight coming up. It seemed it was really going to be a marquee fight for him, a fight back into the big fight picture. I mean, I sort of have no problem beating Canelo Alvarez, but it's been a great fight. And then that suddenly, Lady A, that suddenly, bang, this car accident, and Paul Williams is lucky to be alive.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, being on a motorcycle, God knows how fast he was going. I mean, they're saying, based on what I had kind of caught up on and read about, they said that he was going to go back in within the next 2 days. And I think that story broke, what, Doc, yesterday, the day before yesterday?
That
would mean that today maybe they were waiting for some of the swelling and everything to go down. Apparently they said he severed his spinal cord. So we'll wait and see what happens. It's such a sad story to hear something like that. I mean, he's still... You could see that he still had the desire to keep fighting after his loss from Sergio Martinez, which, I mean, that was a knockout of the year.
That may have been a knockout of the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then it was the fact that he had retired, had sort of soured on boxing,
mm-hmm.
and got out of the game, had spoken probably.
But, Doc, you know, the guy's a wealthy guy. I mean, he's got a lot of real estate property. It's not like he would have been...
Well, that's what I said. He had spoke probably of how he was in a financial situation that he didn't need boxing, didn't need to continue beyond
right.
what he desired, and he
right.
could set back at a very young age and be comfortable and straight.
Right. Well, you know, between that and the story about Tapia, I mean, it's been kind of... You know, Doc, it's really ironic. Don't you think how many stories we've heard about in the last year? Frazier, the Petronellis, Dundee, Bert Sugar. By the way, Doc, kudos to the Ring Magazine for putting a story on, doing a story on Bert Sugar. I didn't know he was so into, like, the Marx Brothers, but apparently he was. But kudos to Don Stradley for doing a story on Bert Sugar. But isn't it amazing how much has happened in boxing the last few months?
Oh man! I mean, we're talking about let's go back to last July. We do Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network show. We do the tribute to Joe and Ali in July of last year.
Right.
And Joe was ill, and I'm getting these phone calls that Saturday, and when we do that show, it's Dusty that says that Joe is in hospice. And I was looking at the thank you card that Marvin sent me after I had saw him in December. Wolf was talking about his dad and stuff. So when we lost Joe, and then there was Angelo, and we had Bert on the show the night that we heard of a passing of Angelo. He's talking about Angelo. And then the next month, there's Bert who passed. And if we remember in that same span of time, one of the Petronelli brothers had passed.
That's right.
And you know, now we're talking about, and you know, Bert was a guy that had his hat in many arenas. He was a guy that I heard fill up a van and just threw a whole lot of stuff into his van when they closed down the first Yankee Stadium for renovation before this memorabilia thing took off. And it was Bert, if you remember that commercial, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's make the very best. Chocolate. Well, Bert penned that. He penned that piece.
Wow.
And, and now we're talking about the tragedy of Johnny Tapia passes away. And then bingo, here is Paul Williams, not dead, but dead as the boxing career is concerned about now, and it's very horrific. I my age friend, a dear friend here, and said about the fourth laser, and I told him I wanted to learn how to turn up with this for the sake of it. And Stephen Glazer, who pins a blog on the internet, says, "Doc, don't get on a motorcycle," he said, "because once you get on a motorcycle, you're going to come off it." He told the story of him being on a motorcycle. He learned well, and then just woke up one day in the hospital. One day in the hospital, the motorcycle was cool, didn't know how he got there. And I remember that classic line.
Well, look at Diego Corrales. Diego Corrales was the same thing.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if I'm correct, didn't the same thing happen with Salvador Sanchez? Sanchez was a car accident, correct?
He was a car accident, yeah.
But the thing that this great line somebody told me, Eddie Murray, you know, whatever speed you come off a motorcycle, whatever you hit, that's the speed
you're not
hitting
stopping. Yeah, you know. Yeah. You have nothing to protect you on either side, so you know. I was just thinking, you know, it's like, you know, we're just talking about how ironic things are. I mean, even a couple of summers ago when we lost Gotti and we lost Alexis Arguello and we lost, you know, like all three, like just within a month span. It was like crazy. Now it just seems like it's just been coming back to back with everybody.
Well, and the thing that bothers you too is the tragedy of it. Gotti and the hanging situation was still mysterious, as is mysterious was the killing of Alexis Arguello, a so-called suicide, yet is inflicted not in the head but in the body. And then we look at this death for his career in boxing for Paul mm-hmm. Williams. I mean, Angelo had some time on the books in the 90s. Bert, in the 70s, still mm-hmm. a man, not a young man, but he's in his 70s, as was one of the Petronelli brothers. We lost last week legendary Hal Jackson, 97 years old. But, you know, this hit you so hard with the Paul Williams. He had walked away from boxing. And that's the thing, you know, you and you see why now, how organizations when they sign athletes and why companies and managers to the degree say, hey, there's certain things you can or can't do while you are employed under my system, whether it be a boxer fight. And what happened to Paul Williams is one of them. And you look back at just the freak accident to Mariano Rivera, and you were thinking, and you say, Mariano, you know what? We don't want you doing anything but pitching. We don't want you in the outfield. No, we understand, but you know, we don't want you doing anything but walking to and from that bullpen.
I mean, but to some extent, Doc, you know, these guys can't stop living either. Remember the freak accident that happened with the, what's that Mets pitcher that was just doing something and did something with the hedge clippers and screwed up his hand?
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Joba Chamberlain.
No. Now, Joba Chamberlain was the ankle. He was with his kid.
I'm talking about
the head. He was clipping something for the Mets, the guy, that pitcher, and it was in the 80s. I forget his name. Oh, the pitcher. Right. And he ended up doing something in his hand. And, you know, he ended up getting stitches. I mean, to some degree, guys can't stop living either.
I mean,
but you could understand the limits and restraints that a lot of these guys want to do.
But for the motorcycle, you know, the dangers of a motorcycle in a case like that, I mean, okay, something minute is that even the thing with Mariano and Chamberlain, but the motorcycle. I mean, Diego Crosby.
Well,
I mean,
look at Ben Roethlisberger, right?
He's riding without a helmet, and I'm here, Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with another Rainbow. So, Channel Sports Depth, the show, we've got a good half hour with the First Lady of Boxing and Sports. I'm live from Fortaleza. No, I'm not live from Fortaleza. I'm live from São Paulo, Mia Dias. I'm thinking I'm in Fortaleza. I should have put São Paulo in my pen. São Paulo is going to be one of the cities that's going to host the World Cup, and São Paulo also is the largest city in Brazil and in Latin America. We're broadcasting live from the Pan Americano Hotel, and also saluting my crew here, the manager, Gerenci, my man Geraldo, Ricardo. I want to say hello to Ricardo and the rest of the crew down there. It's just that the motorcycle thing, here in São Paulo, they have motor taxis. I had never seen that sort of thing until my first time coming here with the legendary Gloria Gaynor under the management of her husband, legendary Lin-Manuel Marinho. I saw these motor taxis, and every day, the international promoter, Décio Couto Machado Jr., who is a Paulista major from São Paulo, tells me that every day, a motor taxi driver gets killed in São Paulo. Every day, somebody who drives these motor taxis gets killed every single day. And you just, you know, but I'm thinking of the attitude that Paul Williams and his camp had taken after the knockout by Sergio Martinez, where they said that they wouldn't deviate from the plan they had they
That's
fought.
That's right.
The next day, you were there. That was the plan that they had. And, hey, the better man won. And you would say, well, wait a minute, hold on, man. You know, here's a guy with the reach of an octopus. Here's a guy with a jab. Here's a guy with power above him. Why are you bending down, stooping down, getting in the power range of this guy? And I could kind of see to a certain degree the cavalier or come with May attitude that brought this about with Paul Williams.
You got to look at his fighting style too, Doc. He's a guy who throws punches and bunches, and the average person thinks, hey, you know what? He's throwing punches. He should win the fight. But when we spoke to our judge, Chuck Williams, he said that's not the only qualification that judges look at. Although, you know, you got to look at all the qualifications in general and look at power punches and who's landing the effective punches. And you know, just because a guy's throwing punches doesn't mean he's going to win a fight. And I think that's another thing you have to look at. But his style is indicative of the fact that he's the kind of guy that, you know, he likes to throw a lot of punches. And it just makes me wonder, too, had that fight gone on between him and Margarito, what the final result would have been.
I you know, at that point, he seemed to be I just think he was better than Margarito. It was amazing, in lieu of the fact that Margarito had loaded hands and still lost that fight. Said a lot about Paul Williams. We go back to that real quickly. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake with the Network Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Depth of the show, live from São Paulo, Brazil, the largest city in Brazil and Latin America. But we'd like to take a quick moment and bring you all into the Sports Depth world as Mel Cosell Smith, Jr., welcome to Sports in Depth. Mel, take it away.
Why, thank you, good doctor. Welcome. Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here, and that is Doc Stanley. Take it away,
and
Doc.
And the man, all the answers, controversial, leaving no stone unturned, Mel Cosell, the first lady of sports on the Blake Radio Network, Lady A. But here, Paul Williams and the story of Rooney, just your first gut reaction when you heard of this tragic situation of an outstanding fighter, Paul Williams.
Who is that for, A or me, Doc?
That's you, Rooney.
saddened, Doc, very much saddened, because it's just a terrible tragedy. I've been a young man in the prime of life. I understand he was on the way to his brother's wedding to boot, which is supposed to be, you know, a festive occasion. And that to just have this kind of tragedy, just cut him down in the prime of life. Now, the good news is that he's, you know, still with us. And I believe he has partial of movement to the, you know, the other half from the waist up of his body. So I guess that's a blessing in disguise. But it's a tragedy, Doc, a tragedy. Young man in the prime of life, an athlete who's used to doing a lot of running and, you know, calisthenics like a free bird, if you will, and then I have this to happen. I just want to say that my absolute prayers and wishes for as best a recovery as he can have and a good as quality of life as he can have goes out to Paul and, of course, his family. And while you're on this subject, just quickly, Doc, I also want to give our sincere condolences to the family of Johnny Tapia, who also passed away, I believe, some days ago. So I also wanted to wish indeed his entire family is our sincere condolences.
Yeah, and Rooney speaks on behalf of all of us here at Sports Network, the Blake Network. It's the halftime moment. Let's everybody take a break. A young lady has something to say. We'll be back with the first lady of sports and the man with all the answers, Mel Cosell. Just a minute. Doc Stanley, live from São Paulo, Brazil.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley live from São Paulo, Brazil. Sports in Depth. We'll be back again, hopefully. I gotta get back Friday with another good half hour, and then the next shows will all be from Fortaleza. Fortaleza and São Paulo will be two of the cities that will hold the World Cup games, but I really wanted to do a live broadcast from São Paulo, and I wanted to have my ace, Coon Coons, on here, the first lady of boxing, Lady A, and, of course, the incomparable Mel. Right.
I was going to let you know, and you know, all the Sports in Depth nations, you know, this your boy is Roberto Duran, you know, that I wasn't sure if you knew about the movie that's being filmed now. They're reportedly filming a movie. The filming actually began. It's called Hands of Stone, and it's a biopic about the life of Roberto Duran. And it's just been reported that Robert De Niro is going to be playing his trainer in the movie.
So now, he's going to be playing either Ray or Sel. Or
Ray Ossell, that's correct.
Yeah, he'll be playing Ray Ossell, the late. No, I met Ray Ossell's lovely wife Teresa. I'll never forget it because of two things. She called me Melvin, and her name was Teresa, and I asked her, Miss Ossell, how was it, you know, being married to Ray Ossell? And she answered me. I'll never ever forget, Mooney. She said, Melvin, was that quote? Melvin, it was Christmas every day. Married to that man. And very few people ever called him Melvin, but it was Christmas every day. Right? You know, the story that the great sportscaster Sal Marciano told me was that he was there. No, I picked Jerry Cooney to beat Larry Holmes. And Marciano was sitting at a very unique angle at the fight, and he saw when Larry came back to the corner that Ossell rubbed past something across his nose. And on the flight home, Ossell was sitting with Marciano, and Sal asked him, what was that he did? And Ossell said, what, you saw that? And he said, yeah. He said, well, no. Okay, I'll tell you, but you cannot say anything about this until after I die. Yeah, after I die. And then he had some smelling salts. And Cooney told me later, we always talked about it. Every time I mention that, I get more in-depth information to Jerry. He would, Barcel, he said, was passing the smelling salts under Larry's nose every round. I remember the great line that Ali said was that, you know, Cooney hit so hard, his grandchildren will feel it. And Barcel, great trainer. I remember the great line when...
Doc, you're really annoying me, Doc, with that. Because I've been asking you every week to get Cooney on the show.
Yeah, and I keep telling you that...
He's hilarious, Doc. We've got to get him on the show, Doc.
I'm going to get him, but this is why I'm looking at his number, but I always tell you people, especially you're the first lady of boxing, I get these numbers, I want you to file for me too. For some reason, I can't find, and Jerry said he'll be, Jerry Cooney,
he's hilarious, Doc. He's hilarious, Doc.
No, he's hilarious. I'm telling you what I was told by him. I was told by Don Turner that when Jerry Cooney first got into boxing as an amateur, he said he was unbeatable. Cooney was going to be unbeatable. And Cooney, I asked Cooney for his gloves. He fought a guy named Dino Dennis. I have the glove, and it's autographed by him, and of course, incomparable. And Jen, once again, this is my chance, DocStanleySports.com is my site. You look in there, you can see stuff from the Doc Stanley Sports in Depth, Trust in God, Artifact in the Hall of Fame. And he gave me the glove. I remember I said, that I walked to the dressing, he was standing in front of the door. I said, you got those gloves you promised me? He said, can I have one? And I said, yeah. And he gave me one, and he autographed it, and Leroy Neiman. There was the initial inception of me and Leroy's friendship. And he autographed it, and there's a tear in it. He and Leroy Neiman autographed it. He's a great guy, and he's always been a great guy. I call him Looney Cooney, and he told me that. And we're looking for Roy Jones Jr. As you know, I'm live, Doc Stanley, live sports enough on the Blake with the Network Rainbow.
Oh, my God, Roy Jones.
And Roy has been busy, but Roy is one of our guys, so we'll never have no problem with Roy. Okay, more boxing things are happening here, too, now. Now, that you look at the fights now, Mel, and we're in the last 10 minutes, but we'll definitely have to do, because I'm live from Brazil, we're going to be able to do a few minutes with Mike on lights off. You look at the situation here now, Rooney. We had the Ortiz-Berto fight because of steroid problems, supposedly. We've had the Peterson-Khan fight because of steroid problems. But yet the tragic thing here with Paul Williams and Alvarez, you're looking at what's happening. We're all looking forward now to next week. Bradley and Pacquiao. Rooney, I want you to start it. We'll get back to the first lady so she has to find out what... You know, I like Bradley a lot in this. I'm picking...
You heard that, Rooney? You heard that?
I like Bradley a lot.
No, please continue, Doctor. I was just listening to Austin May for a moment, but I'm sorry.
No, Rooney. I want your thoughts. I like Bradley a lot in this fight.
Oh, my God, Doc. You don't even understand how much me and Mel have been talking about this topic. Go ahead. Open the floodgates on him. Go ahead. Open the floodgates. the floodgates, because here it comes. Go ahead.
You're here. Open the floodgates. Go ahead, Rooney. Kick it, Rooney.
Well, what I have to say, Austin May is right, Doc. We've discussed this rubble ad infinitum, and the fact of the matter is, the honesty, I am still going with Pacquiao to get the Duke or escape with a win. I'll put it that way. But I have to say, Doc, that my thinking has changed a lot. I thought it was going to be the usual youngster comes out, gives his best for two or three rounds. Pacquiao, experience, heart, talent, smokes him, and three or four rounds is done, titty by the door. But, Doc, I am telling you, I'm really very good at body language. And as we and me, I said with you and I said with Austin A, that this is coming to fight, Doc. And what really, really, really makes me kind of really know that he's gonna bring it all, Doc, is they've been showing those 24/7 things with the interviews of Pacquiao and Bradley. And Doc, when you see him running in like that Arizona 100-degree sun, and you see him, like, really giving it all, and he's going to be bringing the heat, Doc. I say Pacquiao wins, but it's going to be more like Pacquiao escapes. And I wanted to say one more quick thing about that to you and Austin May. Four times Bradley's opponents have been bloodied by headbutt. And four times it was ruled inconsequential accidental contact. Four times. And not one of those times, because of the ruling, has he been deducted a point. So I'm just trying to say that I'm not calling him a dirty fighter or anything like that. However, I will say that Tim Bradley knows how to use every weapon at his disposal. I'll put it that way.
But you know what? I think, though, if that has been the case in past fights, there's a good chance he will not get away with that with a marquee fighter of the magnitude of Manny Pacquiao. I mean, if this has been allowed in the past, I would think somewhere along the line it's not going to be tolerated, allowed, or part of the inception of his modus operandi. I think there will be some sort of more of a visual awareness and some penalties or tribute if it is done maybe redundantly and repeatedly. I don't think he can get away against Pacquiao with that, unless in the mindset that you have brought about, as always, Dr. Stanley stands up on the Black Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Death of the Show, live from São Paulo, Brazil, largest city in Brazil and largest city in Latin America. I don't think he will, but you know what? This is the point, though. If he does do that and gets away with it, it will show us that not only is Pacquiao on the downhill slide, but also the reverence and the pedigree in which he once held is no longer in the same area. No longer is he held in such high esteem. If Bradley's allowed to bring all his arsenal in, and especially with this notoriety of headbutting, and there'll be no aftermath if it happens about, then we're saying that Pacquiao is no longer Pacquiao in a lot of ways. And I think, and, you know, Lady A, it's your show. I can see now in the last 4 minutes, we'll definitely do back on lights off a little bit here live from São Paulo, Brazil. I like Bradley. Now, understand, you know, because I know you really will hold me to task. I'm not saying.
Certainly will. Yeah, Doc.
I've told you this. I've said this a million times. There's only three guys who are unbeatable. Muhammad Ali, before he got stripped, and the record shows he's never lost. Walker Smith Jr., Sugar Ray Robinson, as a welterweight, never lost a fight as a welterweight, 94-0 before he lost his first fight to Jake LaMotta, and of course, my man Cholo, Roberto Duran, 72-1 when he faced your guy, the great Ray Charles Leonard. Those three guys in their area, 135, 147, and the heavyweight, were unbeatable. So, but I'm saying, you know, Pacquiao is beatable, and I think this is the guy that can beat him. And I think, Lady, that you know, in the past, a lot of people thought Marquez had beat him. But, Lady A, it's your platform. What do you got to say? I mean, you've been talking. Let's hear you.
I think that we got to inject a couple of things into the conversation. First, you know, you look at some of the tensions going on in the Manny Pacquiao camp with Alex Ariza now taking time out from the camp, training camp itself, to now train Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And you wonder if that's going to be a distraction in the fight camp, while he's training for this fight. Second, I think that you have to look at Timothy Bradley as a fighter, and when you analyze him, you have to keep in the back of your mind that he is studying this guy. And I think one of the big things that kind of solidified that for me was today when I actually read a little bit of the press clips based on his workouts yesterday, and he was actually testing the media and saying to them, well, what are you really trying to throw in their face? Like, what do you really know about Manny Pacquiao? And then he
Lady A, hold that thought. Box Stanley Sports Up on the Blake, we're there with Rainbow Show, the channel Sports Up, the show live from São Paulo, Brazil. We're going to do Mic On, Lights Off. Larry Hardesty will take us into the Mic On, Lights Off segment. The first lady of sports is here, Lady A, the awesome lady. The awesome in his own way is Mel Cosell Smith. Larry Hardesty, you're awesome also. Greatest African American sportscast history of New York City Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Hardesty will close us and bring us back on Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network. Bless you, God. If you like today, then put God to me.
This concludes another edition of Sports and Death with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Mic on, lights off. Our business segment, live from San Paulo, Brazil, live from the Pan Americano Hotel. Geraldo is the manager of Ricardo and the rest of me, Imao and Amigos. And my new friend, as all friends should be in command. Hello, thank you for this section. This the viewers know what we want and what we need. Thank you for blessings, all undeserved, forthcoming, that have come unseen. Name your daughters in Jesus. Amen. Mic on, lights off. We're back. Lady A was leading the way as she was talking about the forthcoming Manny Pacquiao, Timothy Bradley fight. And as I told you, we're coming for you live from São Paulo, Brazil. Now, someone think about Fortaleza. But so now we're back to Lady A. Lady A, you say there are other fractions, there are outside distractions, there are other things that may also lead to disadvantages as Manny Pacquiao fights a very good fighter in Timothy Bradley.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, there is tension in their fight camp, of Manny Pacquiao. There's tension over Alex Ariza leaving camp to train Julio Cesar Chavez, although he did attain Manny Pacquiao's permission to do so. I still think that Freddie Roach had, some negative thoughts about him leaving, and to some degree you wonder if that's going to play a part.
But they, I could see some sort of concerns minutely if Freddie Roach was leaving the camp. But what is Freddie Roach concerned about by one of his underlings?
I mean, you have to take it into consideration. You got to think maybe is he seeing something that's going to be a deterrent, that Manny's not going to be getting something? To some degree, a trainer should know what their fighters need and don't need during certain training periods. And, I think that would be a question we would have to further revisit that topic if we get Harold Weston on, and find out from him. But, to some degree, I'd have to say, what is the question there? Why is he so bothered by it? And even though, you're looking at just the tension aspect of the fight camp, what's going on in that camp, you also got to look at the fact that Bradley seems to really be studying this fighter. Like I said earlier, when I reviewed some of the things that he said in the workout, it seemed like he was actually questioning the media and saying to them, well, what do you really know about Manny Pacquiao? And he said in the workout, he said to them, and somewhat I would imagine, in a question, he was like, well, he even asked them, what's his shoe size? Like, how well do you really know him? And I think he was doing that. I don't think it was so much like showing like he was like this bravado, but I think he was saying, well, hey, listen, I have studied this guy. And one of the things he said is, hey, what's Manny Pacquiao's best defense? His offense, what's his best punch? His straight left, and which way does he tend to, like, when he's moving forward, lean more towards, his left or his right side. So these are all things that make you wonder, you know, is Freddie Roach more concerned with Timothy Bradley and what he's going to bring to the table? And that's why he's saying, is my fighter going to be as conditioned that he needs to be? Because let's remember, Alex Ariza is the conditioning guy. And I don't know if anybody's been watching, and Mel, this would be a great question for you. I don't really know if anybody's been really watching the 24/7 segment, but Timothy Bradley is a machine. That guy is a machine. When it comes to fitness and being in shape, that guy is a machine. So you wonder if maybe that's a concern that Freddie Roach has, unless it's a personal issue. I really don't know, and no one's really taking time to really question.
I think it's both. I think it's both personal between them, Freddie Roach and Alex, and I think it's also professional in the sense that, and Lady A, once again, you just laid the smack down on the whole situation. He knows that he sees what we see, what we've already seen, Lady A, in that that Timothy Bradley is focused, the kid's coming to fight,
yeah.
And the kid's going to be a very tough out, if you will, and Freddie knows this. And I think that his initial problem with Alex is the fact that he feels a sense of abandonment and that basically he's probably thinking, you know, man, you know we're going to have a tough rumble with this kid.
You know what makes it even...
How dare you take 2 weeks off from training camp and leave camp, even though you have Maddie's permission, how dare you take 2 weeks off or so, you know, basically abandoning us when we need to hold the full ship intact. Now,
but you know what, I think that, you know what, Mel, just to interject for a minute, I think that we as a group and even as a panel would not be saying this about Pacquiao had Marquez not showed what he showed in the last fight. Because I think he kind of brought more of a negative, I don't even know if negative is the best word, but kind of like he kind of showed that Manny Pacquiao is not all that they're making him to be, you know? And he showed that there is a kink in his armor. There is a kink in his armor.
He had showed that in the past fight. I mean, everybody thought when they came into this third fight, it should have been 1-1. It could have been 2-0 the other way.
Right,
so,
but
I think
had that. What I'm saying, Doc, is had that fight not been so recent and fresh in people's minds, I don't think that Timothy Bradley would have been saying, well, you know what? I could really beat this guy. You know, I think that
Listen, you know, there's something wrong if you get into a ring and you don't think you can beat the guy. I mean, I think Bradley has said that against every fighter, and I think he's saying against. I mean, I've said this for a long time. I do not see Manny Pacquiao as an elite fighter. I've never seen Pacquiao. I mean, I remember Jim Lampley talking about how great Manny Pacquiao is not great. Manny Pacquiao is an outstanding fighter. Manny Pacquiao would be a contender against the likes of Duran, Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Matt Hagler, Cuevas, Harold Weston. So I've never saw this greatness. I mean, Floyd Mayweather is working on greatness. But Floyd Mayweather, too, would be just another contender, really a contender.
Well, back in the day, of course. Right.
I think one of the things that Lady A is also saying, Doc, and Lady A, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so feel free to come on with it, you know, when you please. But I think, Lady A, that one of the things that you're trying to express, and I wholeheartedly agree, is that Pacquiao in his last few fights has looked eminently beatable.
Yes.
And this is a
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
Roach.
Correct.
And you know what? And has shown against fighters that he hasn't fought from his own stable. Did you hear me, Dan?
Right.
I mean, you know, he was unbeatable. He was a conquering hero. He was a machine when he fought the likes of Joshua Cloudy, Miguel Cotto, Margarito. But now, all of a sudden, when Marquez got him again, all of a sudden, whoa, he ain't all that super bad anymore. He's bad on the negative side. So I've never, you know, here's a guy with three losses. Here's a guy with three losses. How great can you be with three losses?
Right.
And Doc, there's an old saying when it comes to contact sports, like boxing and wrestling and football, the old lion skins have to make way for the new lions.
Hey, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake, you know, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network, the show live from the Pan America Hotel, Rua Augusta, 778.
You know,
just Sports. in São Paulo, Brazil. Lady A, the first lady of sports on the Blake Griffin Network, and the incomparable, awesome in his own way, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., taking his chance to let you know DocSandySports.com is the site on the Trust and Guard Sports and Depth Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. And as we talk about Manny Pacquiao and Timmy Bradley, yes, both of them are on. I call one of my seven wonders in the Trust and Guard Artifacts Sports and Depth Hall of Fame jacket. They're both there, as is a nice photo that Manny Pacquiao captured the autograph for me. Some other boxing things. Those of you who
I was there when you got that one, right, Doc? That autograph that Jinky got for you, Doc, let me just inject something in the conversation, and I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about, and this is very important as well. You know, you mentioned that, you know, he hasn't really fought anybody outside of, you know, the top rank fighters, but it almost makes you wonder when you look at something that, you know, our guys, Carlos and them from Boricua Boxing, have mentioned that, you know, as of last week, I think they're still doing the numbers, but the fight between Miguel Cotto and Mayweather grossed, and like I said, they're still doing the numbers from pay-per-view, but $94 million. And it almost makes you wonder, you know, you and I had discussed how the fight between De La Hoya and Mayweather was one of the top fights as far as revenue.
Right now, that fight is the number one pay-per-view fight in the history.
Well, all the numbers haven't come in from this one yet either, from the Mayweather Cotto fight. Right.
Yeah,
but what I'm getting at is it almost makes you wonder when you look at the strategy that it seems like Bob Arum is trying to employ in this situation, with him doing all this backdoor stuff and trying to circumvent this fight from happening, if he's cutting his nose to spite his face. You know what I mean? Because
he is. But the thing is, this is a situation of Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Griffin Network, Rainbow Soda, the channel Sports Network, and show live from San Paulo, Brazil, from the Panamericano Hotel, Set Giorgio, Rua de Augusta. Geraldo is Dorenti, the manager here, as well as my good buddy Ricardo and the rest of the crew down there on the desk. Arum, and I've said this for a long time, this propensity to make this as part of his disdain and dislike toward both De La Hoya and Mayweather for leaving him. And Floyd said many times, when I was with Bob, I was the best thing since sliced bread. And Bob cut him those spikes. Bob had done this before. Margarita would have never been caught if Bob Arum would have made Williams Margarito 2. The fight was going to be done. Margarito was going to make the most money he ever made, $4 million. It was a great pay-per-view fight. They both was at their height. They both were hot. Margarito hadn't gotten caught. And my story from my good buddy, Tim Smith, Daily News, number one box fight of our generation. You know, if this fight hadn't been made, I mean, how could you turn down a fight that was, one, a pay-per-view fight, two, your fight is going to get the best money he's ever made, three, you're going to co-promote a hell of a fight, and if Margarito wins, which you feel he might, you've got your chance for a trilogy. But because of his dislike for somebody in the camp, he never made the fight, as he never made the second De La Hoya Trinidad fight. I was 17. I gave him everything he wanted. Bob tried to get out of that. Bob kept making these demands, and Don gave them all. Mm-hmm. And he said, because I know my man can beat his man. But I told Bob this. If this is such a good deal, Bob, remember, when my man wins, I'm giving you the same deal. And if you remember, Rooney, and remember, lady, a second De La Hoya Trinidad fight was never made by Sabek. The tribute to Oscar was Oscar tried to make the fight when he came to Arum never made a second fight. You know, he's a guy that seems to hold grudge. I heard he's been a family, but you know, here's a guy who never brought the task, who you never hear negativity about him, but it's right there. Pacquiao has fought the majority of his last few fights against guys in his own camp, and like I'm saying, how could he not have made Mayweather and Pacquiao?
Doc, you're breaking up.
Lady A, Doc, are you there?
Good, keep going.
Let me say something just to piggyback off that, Lady A and Doc.
Uh-huh.
You know something, Doc and Lady A, and I obviously want your incredible opinions on this.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard it here first, or maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think that the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, if you will, is fast becoming and headed to a time when they're making that fight too late. It's fast becoming a time when they're both going to be, I'm not going to say slightly over the hill, but the time is fast approaching
mm-hmm.
where they may have waited too long to make that rumble.
We are not going to see Pacquiao Mayweather. We're not going to see it.
Well, Doc, I said that 2 years ago, but I was hoping. I said that 2 years ago, but I was hoping for the best, Doc.
I'm opening the window again, and I'm reluctant with this. And I tell you what happens to Pacquiao Mayweather determines a lot what happens next month. What happens next month, because they may not meet. In fact, Bradley has said, I'm the guy, okay, that's going to beat Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that beats Pacquiao may beat the guy that beats Mayweather.
Good job, Doc. Good point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is, you know, Lady A and Doc, this is fast becoming the point. You know what this is going to be? You know, if this fight ever actually does happen, it's going to be a little bit too late, but both of them will be slightly past their primes. You know what this fight's going to be? Even though both of these guys are in different race classes, so they actually had an excuse, this is going to be the Rand Quavis, what should have been if they had ever been able to get together in their prime, at either catch weight or something. This would have been Duran Quavis at the top of their game.
Duran Quavis was still outstanding fight, but there were a lot of. So I asked Duran, how come you never fought Kid Pombele? Why did you jump from 135 to 140 to the Ray Leonard? And this is why. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Show, the channel, Sports Up on the show live from San Paulo. This is why my man Borkin, in his picking the top four fighters of that era, Hagler, Hearns, Durant, and Leonard, picks Ray Leonard number two and Durant number one, one and one, because he said Durant came up two weight classes, past his prime, to beat arguably the second greatest bulletin of all time. And he's the one guy who actually beat Ray. And, I mean, the draw that Tommy Hearns with Ray, if that fight goes past 15 rounds, Ray Leonard is going to knock out Tommy Hearns again, okay? And the draw was a good deal all the way around. Even though Ray, in his classic way, said Tommy won the fight, I thought it was a draw. I could have went either way, but I knew for sure had it been a 15-round fight, Ray Leonard would have knocked out Tommy Hearns again. But I asked Duran, how come you didn't do fight Kid Pombele? He said, because, Pombele people were just too crazy. They wanted all the money. And I think a lot of times that would have happened with Quavis. In the situation, which Bob Arum thought was going to happen with De La Hoya and Trinidad. He kept making these crazy demands, but Don gave them to him. And so, what could he say? He couldn't turn his back. But in a lot of cases, some of those fights didn't happen because the people really didn't want to fight Durant. You know what I mean? People didn't want to make that fight. And you make a point, but then again, if we do see Pacquiao and Mayweather sort of past their prime, it can still turn out to be a great fight, as a lot of people thought Ali Frazier 3 was going to be a dud, okay? And it turned out to be one of the greatest fights in the heavyweight history. So, two guys, same age, equal skills, it could turn out still to be a hell of a fight because they're both two outstanding fighters. So even though it may be, as Buck O'Neill once said, I was right on time. The fight will still be right on time because boxing fans are going to buy it. Boxing fans, they'll forgive, they'll forget, they'll pay the pay-per-view. These are two of the most remarkable names in boxing, in the history of boxing.
But here's a thought, too, Doc. Here's another thought, Doc.
Right.
When fight fans see a fight just a few weeks before, where you reach a crescendo that you reached with Mayweather and Cotto, and then you see a fight that may possibly be a bust between Bradley and Pacquiao, it's a significant contrast. And unless I think that this fight does take off, I think that boxing fans are still going to be like, you know what? Mayweather Promotions and De La Hoya are putting out the good fights. So I think that you're going to have that loyalty now to those promotional companies where now you're looking at Bob Arum, you're saying, is this the end of what this guy is actually promoting? Is this actually what he's going to stand behind as a promoter? So I think that that's another way you got to look at it, too.
Well, your point is well taken, eh? But I'm just saying that, you know, I know both of them, you know, they still have a chance as boxers because they're both, you know, excellent fighters, tough fighters, big-time draws. But I'm hoping that, you know, hope maybe this fight should have been, I'm not going to get into whys, you know, what fours and whys. But it's fast approaching the time where both of them are going to be slightly a little longer in the tooth now, both Pacquiao and Mayweather.
You know, you wonder, too, like Doc and I have talked ad infinitum about this, is like you wonder if you're going to see a fight like you saw with Jones and Hopkins after so many years of 12 years going back and forth, we're going to fight, and if that's the kind of fight you're going to eventually see. When if you put the fight together now, it'll be where, oh, wow, fight fans can really get something out of it. Where now it's like, oh, this is going to be something that's going to be 5 years later, and people are going to be like, why am I even paying for this? I don't know, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I would say something to you, Lady A. You get on my case all the time.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you guys are both talking at the same time. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No. I mean, you're always going to have your dedicated fight fans like Dusty. Who they're going to watch. If it's a fight, they're going to watch it. And you too are that way, Lady. If there's a fight, you're going to watch it. Because
Doc, you're talking to a girl who still watches fights from 1960s and the 70s. You can't compare me to anybody else.
No.
I mean, come on.
Listen, Lady A, I rest my case. I rest my case.
Doc.
Yeah, baby. Doc. Come on, man. I've watched the Hagler-Hearns fight, and you and I are always fighting about this. I've watched the fight God knows how many times, and I still think what I think about Hagler, and you're still going to think what you think about Hearns. But I still watch fights like that, so I don't know if you could compare me to the average person, you know.
But that's the point I'm making. You are not the average person. Your intellect in this game is far
average,
superior.
Well above average.
I mean, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Your intellect in this game is far superior to those who are supposed to be. We're talking about the Virgins and the Lampreys, people who are in front of mics have no clue compared to you. And
right.
The point I'm making, if you are going to sit down and watch the fight, then what is the very everyday, normal, illiterate, from a product standpoint, he's going to watch the fight. I mean, because boxing fans are the most intelligent fan in sports. They're the most dedicated fan in sports. They're the most sincere fans in sports. But they're also forgiving. And they also understand, but if you say, because, you know, it's not like a baseball game, you know, where you can watch baseball every day during the baseball season. It's not like a basketball game where it's basketball every night during the basketball. Even with pro football, you know, you got football on Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays. There's a lot of football. There's not a lot of fights for fight fans. And you can't take the chance.
Well, I think, too, when you look at fight fans, too, Doc, I think the average fight fan does want to see what Rooney and I always talk about, which is a guy like Maidana. Which Maidana could get knocked down 5 times in a fight, and in the 11th or 12th round, he's looking to knock somebody out. You know, I just think it also depends on what fight fans are used to seeing from certain fighters. You know, Diego Corrales had it. You know, Arturo Gatti had it. Marcos Maidana has it. Those are the guys that you know, hey, that guy will be in the 10th round. And he'll get knocked down 4 or 5 times, and he'll still get up and fight every round like it's the last round. So I think that's another thing you got to look at, too.
So, you know, you were just talking to validate why you have to watch a fight. You just never know what's going to happen. I mean, even, you know, because the memory doesn't stay fresh in the mind of a real fight fan of a bad fight. Because, thank God, there's another fight. It's like a pitcher, okay?
Right.
So I lost today. I can win again. Every day, baseball player. 0-3 today. I got a chance tomorrow. My fans are the most intelligent of sports fans that there is. And it's some of them, sadly, are being led down the plank with some of these new methods and stuff. I thought it was atrocious. I thought it was sad that one of the boxing judges from the Laura and Paul Williams fight was suspended I mean, I think that, and then I turned out I happen to be African-American, too. I think that's sad and touching, Harold Wesson would say. How many horrible boxing decisions have been rendered by judges, and now we're going to suspend these guys, and one of them happens to be black? I mean, nobody got suspended in the Jimmy Jones. Joe Louis fight, when Joe Louis knew he lost the fight, and went into the dressing room. Went into the dressing room. They went and got Joe out the dressing room. How many bad fights have we saw? So now all of a sudden, who's Laura? I mean, I'm not taking this one, but who is he that we have to stand up him because he got a bad decision against Paul Williams? All right. Again, we're going to about close it down in a few minutes. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake with an epic rainbow show, the Channel Sports Depth show. Real quickly, Lady A, you've never told me. Who do you like in Pacquiao Bradley?
I like Pacquiao. I still like Pacquiao. I just think it's going to go to decision.
Okay.
I think it's going to go to decision.
Here's a thought, then, too. So you're telling me, Nettie A, that you don't think Bradley can win a decision?
I still don't think he has. I don't think he has all the components. No. Do I think it's going to be a fight that's going to go all the way? Yes. Do I think he's going to, you know, win some rounds? Yes. But I still think that Pacquiao is going to pull it off. That's just my gut.
No, that's not my question. My question, if he wins the fight, really, but it goes to the scorecard, can he get a fair shake? That's my question. Can he get
that's
a fair shake?
That's another question for another day, Doc.
So now you're like, Dusty, you got to think about this?
No, I'm just saying that that's a whole other topic that we'd have to revisit, but I still think that Pacquiao's going to take it. Yeah.
Can Bradley get a fair shake if it goes the distance and he really pulls this thing out in the book?
Is that the question for me, Doc?
That's the question for you,
Rooney. No, I said, who are you posing that question to? Who can Bradley get a fair shake?
I'm sorry, if the fight goes the distance, can Bradley get a fair shake? And if it goes the distance and he wins this thing, will the judges...
Hey, Doc, Marquez didn't get a fair shake, so what makes you think Bradley is?
Lady, hey, you know what? And you wonder why we call you awesome.
That's right. Awesome, hey, no doubt. Hey, just quickly, Doc, I have to say, just contrary to Lady A, I'm not sure about you, and Lady A's going to laugh at me. She's been laughing at me all week, Doc, because I've been saying I have a strange feeling about this fight. hey, Doc, and Lady A, don't laugh me out of the room. Doc, this could be a possible fight of the year candidate.
Oh, my God. Here we go with you again.
So, you know what? That's you know what, Ronnie? That is a point well taken. You better start trademarking.
That's like talking about boxing and thinking that Doc's not going to mention once in the sentence anything about Durant. Come on, bro. What's wrong with you?
Hey, you know what? Hey, it's time to close this
you know?
Now,
we know that's Doc's boy, bro. He's like his boy Cholo, man. Come on.
There's three guys.
Doc, listen,
that
there's
really
nothing wrong
love.
With that. We all have our favorites, man. I have favorites,
man. I mean,
so I'm just saying,
Ali, Duran, those, as you say, my guy, as well as Harold Weston and Hector Camacho.
Yeah,
you don't talk that much about Camacho, though, Doc.
Yeah, I think more so your boy. But you know, Joe Frazier was your boy, too. You talked a lot about Joe, too, you know, God rest his soul. But
Joe was, one of the classic lines that Joe said, you know, Joe said, once you make a million, you can figure out something to do with another million.
I hear you.
Okay. It's Sports Depth on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Depth, the show live from São Paulo, Brazil. The Boxing Way with Lady A from Brazil, and this is our maiden show this year from São Paulo. Earlier, we did have something back in January for the Laser, but this has been our first show ever from São Paulo, and I really couldn't have kicked it off any better with two more people than two of the people closest to my heart and such an integral part of the Blake Ritter Network Sports and Depth Show. We want to also say hello to Neil Blake, our CEO. You want to make a donation, www.blakeradio.com, and also Deidre Shields, the First Lady of Radio here. You've heard Awesome A, the First Lady of Sports here on the Blake Ritter Network, and as awesome in his own way, the incomparable Mel Cosell Smith Jr. We're going to close it down, gang. We're leaving here. Leaving you with three thoughts. Live your life today and you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent but urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Muhammad Ali says, service to others is what you pay for your space number. And Mel Smith Jr. is simply going to say goodnight to everybody. Rooney, tell everybody goodnight.
Well, thank you again, good doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation's been here. Lady A. and Mel Smith Jr., we've been here. We've been brought to you via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that's Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc. Take it away.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.